kind of was always kind of interested in it, but it was one of these things that you'd never talk about it around your mates, you'd never kind of bring it up, but it's something that you'd always watch. I used to watch it on, I think it was Channel 5 back in the day when it was on in the evening, and that's where it kind of piqued my interest. I only kind of really got into the idea of playing it when the Wexford Eagles here set up the team, and from there it was between watching the sport, playing Madden, and then actually training, they actually figured out all the rules and knew exactly what was going on. But from there, it's like I used to play rugby and I used to live and breathe rugby. I used to get up every Saturday morning and watch rugby, and that's literally flipped on its head, and it's American football every Sunday. It's staying up until 1:30, trying to put off work the next day for as long as I can so I can stay up and actually watch the games. So yeah, the interest has really peaked in the last 5 years for me. John would be probably a wee bit longer than me now.
Yeah, my interest kind of peaked when I went to college back, geez, a long time ago now, probably 2009, actually probably earlier again, a couple of years earlier. Friends of mine from Gorey here that I was living with up there had a big interest in American football, and I didn't know a massive amount about it, so it was just actually picking up what they were learning and what they were talking about and playing Madden. And like, I literally used to go to cheat mode and use like the quarterback with the biggest arm and the fastest
yeah,
wide receiver and just peg it long, basically cheat mode for Madden, and it used to infuriate them. And then it's just, yeah, staying up late watching Super Bowl initially, and then getting into regular season stuff. There was a friend of mine here in town, a guy called Arthur Goose, contacted me about going out to train in Waterford, and we trained with the Waterford Wolves and played a game. We figured, why not try set up something around here and see where we go? And I didn't have a great clue about the sport while setting up the club, but it seemed like a completely different thing to do, and why not try it? And it just went from there.
You were training there with the Waterford Wolves. Was that the first time you realised, actually, you know what, we can play this in this country and can actually get a Wexford club, you know, setting up in Gorey?
100%, yeah. Like, it seemed like such a crazy idea even to go down to Waterford train with an American football team. Like, it just didn't seem like it was something I wasn't aware of happening here in Ireland. You know, I didn't think it was even possible with the startup fees, I suppose, and startup costs, like with the equipment and things like that. It just seemed like such a massive roadblock for it. It was Arda who suggested that we see if we could gauge interest around here. And to be honest, a lot of the people who initially came to our training sessions were friends. We grew from there and we had to spread the word, but I was lucky that a lot of my friends would have been into it. We didn't really know if it was feasible. It was literally just going around the town, putting up posters on lampposts and stuff like that, creating a social media page, and then gathered, kind of snowballed from there.
And how long ago was that?
That was the summer of 2015. Funny enough, actually, Tommy was like one of the first people up to one of our first trainings. It was literally in the town park here in Gorey.
And were you getting kind of strange looks, you know, I want to set up an American football club in Gorey? Were people saying to you, you know, there is a rugby club there, you can just do that instead?
I mean, we were then and we probably still are now.
It's very strange to see, because the sport itself is all shapes and sizes. So you could see a lad that's about 20 stone running around with another lad that's about 11 stone and not a pick on him, and then to see them all fully kitted. And when we were training at the time, it was in a town park, so people were walking their dogs, people were out there kicking ball, kids were going by, and then you'd see 30 mostly out of shape men running around the field chasing this American football. And at the start it was kind of a wee bit like, all we could do was train in thankfully the showgrounds here in Gorey. But as we brought coaches on, it got a bit more sophisticated and we looked a bit more athletic somewhere along the line.
A bit more legitimate.
Yeah.
Then John, for you, were there any fears when you were starting up the club that it might not take off, and when did those fears start to dissipate, I suppose?
Massively, because we, from when our first training session happened in the town park here to when our first match was probably, was it April or May 2016?
Yeah.
So we started training in June 2015, and we trained right through. We were training for well over a year straight.
Wow.
It was all about, because of startup costs, like, you are so scared, like, you need to invest money. So it was massive fundraising drive for us to even start getting to where we needed. Like, we contacted colleges all across America looking for surplus equipment. We were lucky enough that one of the colleges actually got back to us and offered us pads, which are worth hundreds of euros. They offered us, I think it was $30 at the time.
Yeah.
With Penn State in the US, who actually played back in Lansdowne Road or Croke Park.
Oh, yes.
In the last 10 years, I think.
Sure,
Park.
Sure.
They're quite a big college team over there. I suppose the first time we kind of knew that this might happen was when it was kind of Christmas time 2015. One of our coaches at the time Ivan Lynch actually brought up the pads to training dressed up as Santa Claus. You know, it was the fact that we then had a physical piece of American football equipment to then be like, oh, we're actually, we could do this, you know, we could actually, we could do this. And it was ridiculous. Like, it was just people running around in pads when I think back to it. But I mean, you fast forward to now and we've got, you know, sometimes 30 to 40 players kitted up fully in helmets, pads, boots, everything, like ready to play a game and all out in uniforms. It's mad to think about the development and that. But yeah, definitely we had fears, but I suppose if you don't try it, you'll never know and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember actually going to one of your kind of early games and I was just curious to see what it was all about and it looked like you were having a right time. Just tell us a little bit about, you play as part of the American Football Ireland and I see there's about 31 clubs there now. There isn't too many around the Wexford area, so is there an awful lot of travel in the game?
We've been unlucky, especially last year. We've had to make a trip up to the north of Ireland, was it twice? Derry and then Craigavon. It's not like where in rugby, say, it's at tier to your province. We've been unlucky in the way that we've had some distance. Like, we play against Westmeath, we play against Loud, we play against the likes of Craigavon. There's a couple of teams up in Belfast, Cork, Limerick. So because it's not as popular as, say, rugby or GAA or soccer, like, it's quite difficult to get localised teams to play. And then within that, you're looking at divisions then to see, like, because some teams are only starting out, like the likes of Waterford.
They went away for a couple of years, but came back in.
But we'd be quite, well, not ahead of them in just the setup and logistics and all of that, but we'd be kind of in a division ahead of us, so we wouldn't even have the pleasure of playing them. We'd have to still stay up to our like the likes of our Craigavon. Now, the only thing that's slightly changing this, if it does go ahead, is with the COVID rules, and we do look to come back to playing whenever that is. It's kind of hard to predict the date, but when that does happen, that's going to be more regional wise, and it's going to be like we play maybe a team in South Dublin, we'll play
Cork and Limerick are kind of in our region, which is a bit of a reach as well for distance. But I think the distance thing, while it can have its setbacks, it also is a great opportunity for us. Pre-COVID times, we used to get buses. It was a great opportunity for the team to mingle amongst each other and actually become a unit. You know, after a game you might grab a few cans on the bus on the way back, and it's a great way to kind of just take away that kind of nervousness about, oh, I don't know these people, I don't know. And a lot of our players kind of came up individually to play, because, you know, it's not like big groups turn up and play. It was individuals who have serious interest in the sport would turn up, but it kind of creates a big family aspect to the club.
And sure, and just tell us a bit about the last year of the club. I believe the kind of schedule kind of starts in March, isn't that right?
Yeah, so we were actually due to play our first game of last year against Trinity on the 7th or 8th of March.
And it was just a time where kind of, I think COVID kind of broke out and Trinity was one of the first that it came into. Then we got warning calls. We kind of was like, all right, well, I think there's a rumour going around that someone in Trinity got it. So there were signal signs. We only actually got to play one pre-season game against Cork, and then it was right, well, because of everything going on, it was jumping straight into the season. And then I think we were training the 3 nights before the Trinity game, and then the day after we found out that the game was off. And then slowly over the next week or two, kind of like, right, well, we'll put everything on hold. And it's just been kind of a waiting game since. Now, to be fair though, the AFI, American Football Ireland, have done a great job. Like, they keep in contact with us constantly, they always let us know, they make sure they're on top of everything. So the feedback between the organisation and ourselves is quite good. And even such things like our sponsors have been amazing to us. Like, because we haven't been able to highlight them as much as we'd like this year, they're still very supportive, they're still like keeping in with us, keeping in contact, and we try to do our bit social media wise for them. But it's just kind of a kick in the teeth where you're so prepped for this thing, and American football seasons aren't as long as like your football or your rugby, so it's kind of short and sweet, so you do want to get suck your teeth into it.
Well, our pre-season's almost longer than our season, so we had done our full pre-season awaiting to go into our season, so when that didn't happen, it was just kind of a setback for us all. And there was a lot of rookies on the team that, you know, had put so much time and effort into playing that first game and then just didn't get there, which was tough as hell for them, you know.
Yeah, especially when you look at other sports. Obviously, the Gaelic Games, the club teams there managed to get out and play a couple of games, even local soccer, a little bit of local rugby as well. But you guys haven't been out on the field for a year now, is that it?
Yeah, we did. When in the summer, we did. There was talk of maybe mini tournaments happening, or, you know, when cases really, really dropped to like single numbers, there was talks of like mini tournaments or friendly matches happening. And we did. You have to be so careful with how people feel about these things. So we did send like surveys and feedback from the members of the club, and we went back for one training session. But even at that, then that was it. I think that was maybe probably August, actually.
August, and it's kind of the other thing is, because we don't have a settled pitch, it's very hard, because you're like, we have to go to Cranford Complex, and we have to travel a fair bit as well, and then we have to work around their time schedule. So it's trying to fit everyone in, and then it's like, well, you have to stick within pods, and then it was all this kind of dynamic that some sports could manage, but unfortunately ourselves, it was putting us under a wee bit of constraint, and then it's making it beneficial to our players. And ultimately they decided, a lot of them have young families or older relatives, and it was like, right, well, you have to essentially put what's important here in front.
And it is unfortunate in the sense that it is very similar to rugby, that it's a fully contact game. You can't really avoid being in full contact with someone.
Not too much social distancing on the offensive line, I'd say.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can't control it. So outside of professional sports, like rugby itself, like outside of the professional teams, you know, the amateur game just hasn't been able to facilitate starting back up in that sense.
And I know the AGM for the AFI is coming up there very shortly. I believe it's on Valentine's Day, so that'll be a lovely surprise for somebody, I'd say.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I've done a few of the AGMs up in Dublin, but this will be a different one. And it's kind of, I don't know, it will be interesting, because a lot of people, like, the whole organisation is pulling in one direction at the minute, you know, and everyone just wants to get back. But we also know and respect the fact that you just have to be patient on that front, like, and try to work together to figure out how we can do that. Like, it does, the proposal that is there at the minute for us, where we're in that division, that South division, with UL, Cork, Admirals, and Kildare Crusaders. And that is going to be, it's an opportunity for us to have a go at two SBC teams who are the division above us.
Lovely.
Which is quite an interesting one that I think we're all excited about, because there's no bowl game, it's just a league. And it gets us to test our level against someone who's, you know, higher than us, definitely, and have been higher for a few years now as well. So,
and Tommy, let's go back to some more happier times, and, you know, hopefully we will be able to get back out on the pitch and see you guys back in action very soon. But I believe I'm speaking to the 2019 Offensive Player of the Year.
Listen, I don't want to brag now or anything, but the previous year it was one of these things. We had a great year, kind of marred with a few injuries, but as a whole, it was a very productive year. We, I suppose it was a growing year for us, because we got a lot of new players in, and it was a positive year all around. And it kind of, the momentum was high, and we were coming in off a real high, and we kind of set up the pre-season lovely, and kind of the players were starting to gel again, and the rookies were coming in. And it was nice, because unfortunately last year we lost one of our coaches, unfortunately, who passed away far too young. But it was on the back of that, there was a real spirit developed in the club, and things like that can often go one or two ways. You can either push away and you can kind of go in on yourself, or you can come together as a team. And luckily we came together as a team, and we had a great season, albeit we didn't come away with silverware. What we gained on and off the pitch was more than what we could have asked at the start of it.
Yeah, and you're speaking about Billy Anderson Jr. there, who unfortunately passed away in May there in 2019. And, you know, it's something that's been really lovely to just look through your social media. You're, you know, everything is about Billy, and, you know, he's definitely still such a member of the club, and, you know, nobody's ever forgotten him. And he obviously was such a huge part of the Wexford Eagles.
Yeah, like Billy was one of the first, like, and he's one of these lads that's real, and he's just lovely to be around. Like, he can walk into a room and he'd light the room up, and he's a comedian. Like, that's what he did. Like, that's what his hobby was, and he was so good at it. Just like the little things he'd turn around and say to you, or just even a look when we're in the middle of a team talk, and you shouldn't be smiling, and you're there pissing yourself laughing, and everyone else is being real serious because he's giving you this look. it's a tribute to him that he's held in such high regard by everyone at the club. I don't think anyone's had a bad word ever to say about him.
Even one of the years of the awards night, he did a roast of literally every player and coach of the team.
Lovely.
And we were all, I was his visual aid for tonight doing his PowerPoint presentation, and I was roasted, I was torn apart, but you just couldn't help but smile and laugh at it. Like, it was just, he had a great way of disarming everyone and bringing everyone together in that sense, and probably sacrificing his own feelings on the back of it. You know, he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant.
Just to go back to yourself there, Tommy, you're a running back. John, do you actually take to the field yourself?
I do, yeah. I'm actually a lineman, so I play either centre or guard. When the club started initially, we were very bereft of players, and I was QB for about 3 weeks, more out of necessity, but I went and actively recruited a QB after that. But I would play centre and guard myself, yeah.
Rumour has it all linemen do anyway, just sit down and stand up. That's all they really do. It's all the players behind them that do most of the work and carry it. I'd be the running back, and then John would be the lineman, centre, bit of everything.
He does a bit of blocking for you, and you take all the glory.
I make him look good.
Yeah, that's it. And yourself, Tommy, is there any particular player that you sort of base your career off of? Are you a beast mode Marshawn Lynch type of player, or are you a bit more jinky?
I have a mouth on me, unfortunately. I am prone to talking a fair bit too much. Like, I'm not a big man, so I'm like a chihuahua. I've got a big bark on me.
I'll
tell you who I am very much fond of now at the minute. Nick Chubb for the Cleveland Browns. Now I'm a giant supporter. We are just not doing good at the minute. So I am very much a Nick Chubb fan. But if I was to pick who I like as a running back, it would have to be... Currently, Nick Chubb is my boy.
And for you, John, then, from the ownership side of things, I guess a Robert Kraft type?
I hate Patriots.
A lot of people do, yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't fancy myself as any kind of general manager in any sense. It's kind of like the magic of the club as well that has been, even though like it was myself and Arthur that started it up, it's been every player has kind of stepped up and been involved in the organisational side. Like, I was actually away in Scotland last year, living and working, and the guys took over the club and ran it brilliantly. Obviously, I'm back here now and playing with the club back again and being involved, but
listen, if anybody has been interested by this chat, and hopefully games do get to go forward in some part this year, or even if somebody just wants to go in and train with you guys when that is allowed to, how can they join the club?
We have a page on all social media, Twitter, Insta, and Facebook. Like, that's the best way to do it. Just follow us there, get in contact with the page. We're very active on it currently. Like, the AFI, the American Football Ireland, has, because this year is a little bit tougher fundraising and different things like that, they actually have a great competition raffle on at the minute with some brilliant prizes, like €500 top prize and tickets to the Erlingus Classic when that eventually happens, but all just 72%. So if you go through into our page, through our page basically, 72% of that goes back to the clubs, which is a great initiative. But like, to get involved in the club, we've always got opportunities, whether it's playing, coaching, organisationally. Like, we're very open, we're always there to talk and have a conversation. And there is a lot of like-minded people who, big fans of American football and probably don't realise that community is there in the county.
It's just kind of welcome, and the big thing is we get players from everywhere. Like, we get a couple of lads that have played rugby for years and just want to try something different. They've got lads that have maybe committed to some sport like a GA that it's very full on. Albeit we take this very seriously, it's nice to come into a different sport and not be maybe centre stage or not having to train so rigidly and just come back and take a step back. So unfortunately, we don't have recruitment drives because of the current situation. So all we can really do is push through the social media, the Instagram and Facebook. Now, if anyone does message the page, I am extremely bad at replying, and it's my job to reply. So I do apologise in advance. But yeah, that's the best way to reach us. And as soon as we start kind of get back into playing, we try to get players into the mould as quick as possible, getting them kitted up, getting them to feel what it is like to play American football, and even engage your interest and kind of get them to become a part of the West League or community as much as possible. And not only them, but their family, their wives, their kids. It's a nice centre that we build there.
time to get down to brass tacks now. Looking ahead to Super Bowl LV, it's in the Raymond James Stadium. We've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led on by Tom Brady, looking for his seventh ring, and Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, kind of the up and coming. Mahomes looking for his second Super Bowl. I want you to predict how the game is going to go and tell us who's going to win.
Personally, I know we touched on Bob Kraft earlier, who was in charge of the Patriots, who were responsible for Brady's success for years and years. I hate the Patriots, and I've always hated Tom Brady. My heart says that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to win it, but I have a terrible, terrible fear that Tom Brady's going to do it again. Like, it's just such a strange thing. Like, last year, the Buccaneers would have never been even mentioned in and around the Super Bowl conversation, and here we are now, a year later, after a complete rebuild from them in the off season, with Tom Brady, you know, Gronk gone in there, Leonard Fournette running back. Like, they just recruited and recruited Antonio Brown, a wide receiver, and then they've done so well, and they seem to be able to just turn up when it mattered and get it done. And I hate to say it, I actually think they will do it on Sunday. It'll be a close game, but I think in those really, really important game winning moments, like, Brady is just untouchable.
Right, now I'll say this in the premise of I absolutely adore Aaron Rodgers, alright? So if they actually bet Tampa Bay and had a decent set of cornerbacks and bet Tampa Bay, it would have been the Packers the whole way. But since it didn't, I think that the Buccaneers are going to lead for the first three quarters. Chiefs are going to come back. Travis Kelce in the last maybe 2 minutes of the game is going to score the game-winning touchdown, and then it's going to ride the clock out since then.